Hello, and thanks for listening to JoJo's
Hello.
Bizarre Podcast.
Hello.
My name is Mark. Those other voices were Miles. Hello, Miles.
Hello.
And Jackie. Hi, Jackie.
Hello.
I'm glad you guys sound really different, because you don't sound natural when you come in, I'll be honest, but it's easy to differentiate you. And we are a podcast about JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, the TV anime that has been going on and off since 2012. And right now, we're towards the tail end. Why do people say tail end? Why don't you just say towards the end? We're towards the end of Stone Ocean. And this week, in particular, we are going to be talking about episode 35, which I think is called Sea Moon 2 or something like that.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. But before we get into the events of the episode, we should first do some housekeeping, but also maybe even before that, Jackie, I want to talk to you about Sea Moon, because
okay.
Since you had to...
Sailor Moon.
See, that's good. since you had to parent our child yesterday, obviously, yesterday, yeah. last week. Obviously, since I don't know what to do.
No, you do great.
I do great, but I
can't, you're like, not to...
I can't feed the baby, I'll put it to you that way.
Yeah.
But you missed my explanation of the name Sea Moon, which I think is worth hearing on mic. So Jackie, Sea Moon is a reggae song.
Wait, it's just called Sea Moon is the real name?
That's the real name of the song. That's okay. Not, yeah, it's not like Centurion Moon or something cool. Sea Moon is the name of a song by...
Is it like the letter C?
Yep.
Like crescent?
I'll explain moon? It to you, don't worry. Okay. It's by the band Wings, which was Paul McCartney's band after the Beatles with him and his wife.
Mm.
They did the song Live and Let Die.
So, but you said it was reggae?
It's like a reggae or rock steady type of song.
Okay.
Yes, by white British people in 1972.
Okay.
The song kind of sucks for reasons that I may have already outlined. Let's talk about where Sea Moon as a name came from.
Mm-hmm. Crescent Moon, right? It's got to be.
That's pretty good, but no. So basically, it is referring to a different
song. Is it like
song
Come On?
Of the time. We made that joke too. A different song of the time that had lyrics about something like, don't be an L7, we're going to the party tonight. Do you know what an L7 is?
No.
Okay, if you wrote L7 on a piece of paper, what do you think it would look like?
Oh, it's a square.
So what's a sea moon? She's thinking really hard. Eyebrows furrowed, pupils dancing. She's trying to do it with her hands. Jackie, a sea moon would be a circle.
No, it's not.
A sea kind of next to a crescent. It'd be more like a peanut, yeah. It's more like an unshelled peanut.
I'm thinking of like because the actual moon is not partial, and like the actual moon is a sphere.
It's not really specific enough that he says moon. You are right. It should be like sea waning moon.
Yeah.
Sea waxing moon, actually. So the idea is that instead of a square, you're like a cool person if you're a sea moon.
Okay.
As you can tell, this caught
stupid.
On and everyone said it.
Yeah, very stupid.
It's still a phrase used today. But there you go. That is the name of this ultra powerful stand that controls gravity. At least it is a reference to moons. Which do have to do with waves and gravity affecting
mm-hmm.
our planet, but...
But I don't... So this power...
Uh-huh.
It's something to do with gravity, but it can turn things inside out? What's that all about?
Nice rhyme.
How does gravity turn things inside out?
It can invert gravity, I think, is the way to think of this. But let's get into our...
There was like a couple of things that I wanted to talk about for the last episode. When should I talk about that?
Why don't you just get them out now?
Okay. So thoughts about last episode, just the kind of highlights. I really feel like Emporio, there's like no need for him in this show anymore.
Yes.
And I think he's so prominent. And I think it's just... My speculation is that someone was like, we need a kid. We need a young guy for the kids to relate to, like Koichi.
But at this point, you're just invested in the story, and he's barely there to even be like a relatable child.
Yeah.
This is just
why is
Jackie,
he there?
Jackie's continuing her fuck them kids arc. of just hating characters.
Don't understand why this little useless boy is there.
Well, he's actually just a liability in this episode, now that I think about it.
Yeah. Well, it's like Anasui is like babysitting him in the previous episode.
Anasui abandons him in the middle of the episode or at last episode. He just fucking leaves him.
Another thing, just the fact that what an elaborate way to evolve your power. You know, you have to do all that. You have to like combine, like fuse with the green baby with a different power. We've never done that before.
Yeah. But I like it. It feels kind of weird. Earned.
Does it?
Yes.
Okay. Can any other stands fuse like that?
I think so, but we don't know how.
Okay.
That's what I think.
We still don't know what green baby actually is, right?
It's a green baby.
Right. But like it was a kind of a detached stand. It didn't really belong to anybody, but we think maybe it belonged to like Dio's soul.
His boner. I guess we don't know, but we know that, or the baby itself is a baby. I don't know. That it's
it's a baby stand.
Right,
where do stands come from? Well, the stork.
It has a separate stand, I think, doesn't it? Doesn't it have a little stand on it? Green, green grass of home? I think that's its own thing. The green baby is the user.
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, then where did this baby come? Who were the parents of this baby?
This is what it would look like if two men could produce a baby unassisted. That's exactly how any baby looks.
Oh, so this is Dio and Fuchi's baby.
That's right.
Aw.
It's cute.
But then, but it seems like it kind of dies or something because it fuses with Fuchi's stand.
I think Fuchi raises it. By fusing with it, he turns it into an adult.
Okay.
I think he nurtured this baby.
So Poochie is like, you are my son, my gravity stand.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I'll accept all of that without question.
Good.
I wrote down gravity is trying to be as cool as time. I think the problem is that Araki with time travel in like the third arc or whatever, he kind of went through like the coolest thing, I think. Gravity's just not as cool.
Well, time was not just three. Like stopping it was used in 4 and 5.
Yeah.
If you think about it.
That's true. Right. Because like, it's like there's nothing cooler. He already hit that.
3 is stop time, 4 is loop time, and 5 is erase time.
Right.
Who knows what's coming now?
And gravity's just not as cool.
Well, there's something else is happening.
Though there is some, I guess maybe you could kind of make this about time somehow, because gravity, it's not gravity, but like in space, like time moves differently, right?
So that's
maybe
true.
Maybe you can do something with that.
Yeah, you could do like an interstellar thing, you know, where
just like
this little maneuver is going to cost us 53 years or whatever.
Yeah. Is that all?
Yeah, because it's like the further away you get, then the more time, I don't know.
And then lastly, I just like how Emporio gets text messages directly from Jotaro.
Yeah.
Jotaro just texted him.
It's awkward texting with someone else's dad.
And also when it shows that he got a text, it like zooms in on Emporio's butt. So I
missed that. Oh, because his phone is there. His phone's in his back pocket.
His phone is in his butt pocket, and they needed to zoom in on his little baseball pants.
This guy has a portable room, but he just puts his phone in the pocket. Like, I'm surprised he doesn't have a rotary telephone, but I guess he needs to be able to get texts.
Yeah.
All right.
Those are all my notes.
Okay. Well,
all the important ones. I have other notes, but...
We have one email, but before we even get to that, I want to read you guys, since this is, we're in the very end of Stone Ocean. So these are basically episodes that adapt the last few chapters. From the last collected volume of Stone Ocean, Araki had this to say. It's difficult to explain, and I know it's sudden, but when I'm drawing, I feel like the existence of what I call gravity. In other words, what you might think that as an author, I have utter control over, this is a weird sentence, that as an author, I have utter control over the actions of the main characters via the progression of the story or the world in which I make them live. It's not always like that. At some points, when the characters have no choice but to act against my will, I have had to draw scenes I never wanted to draw. I feel that this is gravity and that gravity is part of fate. When you read this final volume of Stone Ocean, I'd like you to think about that for a moment. So,
all right, I will.
This is Araki's lofty way of explaining writing himself into a corner, basically.
Mm.
Is what I think, right? Because, like, why else would characters have to do what you don't want them to do?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe
because they feel real to him.
You think they talk to him and he's like, oh, shit.
He's just like, well, I don't want them to do this, but that's just how they are.
He just has a vivid imagination.
Yeah. I guess he's definitely picturing that apple in the full detailed apple. You guys know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That online thing that I'm recently reminded of because Miles's partner, M, put on Instagram a poll.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm the detailed apple person.
A poll of what?
When you picture an apple.
I'm a detailed apple person.
Can you picture nothing at all? Can you picture the apple like fully realistic with texture? Can you picture just like a cartoon apple?
Oh, I've seen that before. Yeah, I can picture the full, just an apple.
I don't know. I think mine is not quite super detailed. It's a little cartoony.
Mm.
Anyway.
Well, like the first thing I think of is a cartoon apple, but then if you ask me to think of a detailed apple, I can do that.
Okay.
I can picture a detailed
apple.
Jackie,
please picture a detailed apple.
I can do it.
Oh, wow. She's doing it right now.
I did it. It's a deep, a deep red apple.
All right, folks, we've talked about a lot already. And if you have anything to add to what we just said, you can write to jojosbizarrepod@gmail.com. I'll ask you to think about that address for a moment when the podcast episode is over in case we really screwed up anything that you like or we slandered your favorite character. But we have one email this week that someone wrote to, again, jojosbizarrepod@gmail.com. This email is from Sailor Joestar, and the subject line is, reading is exhausting. Well, we're going to find out. Hello, JJB Pod. I just finished reading Part 7 after starting it 6 months ago. It's my favorite part and can't wait for it to be animated. Mark was right when he said, I just want to voice a Part 7 character singing the Pizza Mozzarella song, along with other iconic moments. What do you think is the most iconic scene in JoJo? I think of stuff like Dio putting on the stone mask or stopping time for the first time and want to know what comes to mind for you. Sincerely, Sailor Joestar. P.S. Every time I close my eyes, I wake up and realize I'm late for school. P.P.S. Keep the baby away from arrows and priests. Noted. Sent for my horse that I rode all the way across the country on. All right. Iconic for me is definitely when Dio puts on the mask, and I love when he leans down through the window after they lose him and he just flicks that cop's head off. There's some really cool double panel stuff happening around that part. You guys have a iconic moment?
The weird dance from Part 5.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Maybe Part 5 is underrated. Like, I'm thinking of...
People really... It's very popular in Japan. More in Japan than elsewhere. From what I'm told.
I think Bucciolati licking Giorno for no reason.
Oh, yeah. The taste of a liar.
Oh, the... Speaking of licking, also, Polnareff... Is it Polnareff?
Yeah.
Licking the lollipop thing? Whatever it is? The cherry.
No, that's Kakuin.
The cherry.
Oh, yeah. Kakuin. Yeah. Polnareff almost licks poop. Or he might lick poop.
Okay.
When he's up against justice. Oh, you know what else? And this is more of a manga reader thing, is in Part 4, there's a double page splash when Kira like kind of barges in a bathroom or something that a couple is in, and he just sort of blows up a guy while walking past him, and it's very badass looking.
I also like when in Part 5, when that gangster is eating a banana and it turns into a gun.
That's pretty amazing. Yeah. Oh, and a lot of things have become iconic because of memes from the anime.
Mm-hmm.
But even from the manga too, like super tiny head Jonathan, the fucking gun coming out of a piece of paper in Part 4.
Yes.
JoJo is full of stuff like that because the art style is so specific and because of how ridiculous Araki puts these scenarios there. Cars in space, cars frozen floating around is good.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Anyway. Folks, I also want to tell you that we have a Patreon. If you go to patreon.com/JJBpod, you can support the show for as little as $1. And we have some extra content up there. We don't do anything regularly, mostly due to time. But if anyone has any thoughts on extra content we could put up there, or rather I could put up there, maybe about the new JoJo chapters. I'm not sure. I'm wondering if I should just record audio, like of my thoughts about the new ones. Part 9. The JoJo Lands chapter 2 has come out and I haven't read it yet. It's very strange to once again be in a place where I am like dodging spoilers about JoJo. It's really interesting that way. But yeah, let me know if you'd be interested in anything like that, like my thoughts about part 9 or any other content we could do. But you know, we're not going to do entire episodes behind a paywall. We just don't have the time. We've got kids.
Mm-hmm.
Each one of us has a kid.
Well,
doesn't quite work that way. Jackie and I.
No, there's three of us.
Jackie and I have a baby together.
Yes.
So yes, $1 gets you access to the Patreon feed, which includes Miles' weekly cultural reference newsletter, where he explains all of the references to pop culture we make on the pod and a lot of other culture that's not pop culture now that I think about it. So that's a weekly benefit for just $1 a month. But if you pledge $3 a month, we will also thank you out loud, verbally, orally, not in person, on the pod, like this. Thank you so much, Clit Rocket.
Shun.
Matt.
Blu-ray.
Brian.
I Love JoJo Uwu.
Daniel.
Dalton.
Soliloquy Jackalope.
Kasun.
Lord Zendar.
Jumbo.
Katie.
Bloof.
Nocturnal.
Pole Jam.
Austin.
Tim.
The non-binary person in your walls.
And Chad.
Yeah.
Thanks everyone for supporting the show.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, let's get into this episode that starts with last episode, basically.
There's a recap.
A very involved recap, I thought.
Yeah.
And it's just the previous episode.
I always like a recap.
It's a recap of the previous episode. It's like where we left off, and then we jump right back into it, and Jolene, what's happening? Oh, yeah, right. So it's basically, it recaps the previous episode, and then does it go straight to the...
It goes straight to the song, yeah.
To the song.
I don't know. I hoped it would either be faster or it would include previous details from other episodes, like other recaps do. I guess it didn't need to, but it almost felt like it was moving at the same pace as if I had just watched the previous ep. Maybe it's good for the TV watchers out there in Japan. Whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. So Poochie's looking for Jolene, and he spots Anna Sui, and he goes to like fight Anna Sui, but then a guy comes out of his head, out of Anna Sui's head, and it turns out that wasn't really Anna Sui. It was
a dead tourist.
Yeah, so Anna Sui is like in the background somewhere, and he says, I found a tourist who died and I changed his bone structure to look like me. Which I really still do not understand Diver Dan. I just don't understand what that stand is.
So
I don't understand.
We've seen him change bones before because he can just go inside stuff. And the manga's a little bit better. It doesn't have like a face pop out of Anna Sui's like it does in the anime.
He changed his bone structure, but there's still another head inside his head.
Right. In the manga, that doesn't happen. It's more like the face kind of right before it explodes in really gory fashion. It's sort of, you sort of see that it's not Anna Sui. Mm. But in the manga, he is also still wearing Anna Sui's clothes, which is either a bullshit thing or that's Araki just trying to show off like, oh, to Poochie, this was Anna Sui, you see, reader. But in this case, watching it fluidly, it feels like Anna Sui somehow changed this guy's bones and then dressed him up. I don't know. Because I can see this happening realistically. If you just change someone's bones, like their nose, their eyebrow ridge and stuff, you could kind of, and maybe, I don't know, you'd have to put on pink lipstick. If you could kind of make someone think that it's you.
Mm-hmm.
But like...
And their hair too?
Yeah. It's a lot to change, but it seems like anyone can disguise themselves in this arc.
Yeah.
Poochie does it. Weather Report, I think, does it. Or maybe he just acts as Weather Report. It's a lot.
And then I wrote down, Poochie turns his face inside out. I think Jolene tries to punch him or something.
Anna Sui does.
Oh, okay. Somebody tries to punch him. Okay.
And he just like collapses his head a little bit.
Which is apparently a thing that gravity does.
Which you should not do. You should not use gravity to collapse your head. Your brain is in there.
How does that not melt his little brain?
I don't know, but it's also weird that Jolene's hand is back to normal when there's no way that hand should be back to normal.
True.
After it was flippied.
Yeah, speaking of Jolene, she's basically teasing him this whole episode because she puts his hand on his face and then like runs away like real fast, like she's the Flash. And then later on, she like just, I think, sticks her foot out at him or maybe it's the hand again.
She grabs him from the neck. It's cool. This episode starts with the protagonist of the show as a mystery, which I like.
I still don't understand how she changed here. Did she evolve?
A level of power to her, which we know she didn't have at first. So I think that's cool to see that she's at least evolved her strategy. It's a little Joseph Joestar because it feels a little playful.
Mm.
I read the manga a long time ago, so I forgot what she did here, but it almost feels like she got like squished into another dimension and like her hands and stuff can just come from anywhere.
Yeah.
So, but then when it's revealed that she's intact, she just found a counter to the inversion. It's a little like, well, how are you getting close to this guy that's supposed to be anti-gravity? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Maybe he has to be conscious to deflect people.
I think that might be it.
What do you mean conscious?
Like he has to...
Like he has to be aware of the threat to deflect it away.
Except for all the fact that the gravity is sideways away from him because of his power.
Yeah.
So maybe he can like make it more intense at certain moments so that instead of like reaching up against gravity, which we can all do, against, what is it, 9.8 meters per second squared? That he could intensify it and give you more G's.
Yeah, I mean, like we said last week, it's like fuzzy. Like, it's weird that he can walk on some surfaces and that doesn't fly away from him.
Yeah.
Like, it's not totally clear, like, what he's attracting and what he's repelling.
I think this is what Araki means when he says characters have to do some things that I don't want them to do. I think it's like... Yeah, I write powers that make sense, but then they don't because they have to do something that violates a rule I set up almost.
Fucking magnets, how do they work?
How do they work? And he does something in this episode that I am just like, that is not how gravity works at all. That is so anti-scientific. It's stupid. We'll get there.
Okay. So he pours alcohol around different places and he sets it on fire.
He thinks Jolene might be behind a clump of stuff.
To try to beat Jolene. But then that's when she grabs his leg. And then she goes off and she grabs his throat. And he is like, I am the center of gravity. Everything revolves around me. And then a chunk of her arm is inside out.
Okay, this is the part. This is the thing that I set up 5 seconds ago is actually a lot sooner than I thought.
Okay.
Gravity does not care where your feet are. That's not how gravity works. Otherwise, you could never fall on your ass or fall on your head or anything. It's the idea of where my feet point.
Okay, yeah.
It's like, wait, but you managed to repel people with your head last episode.
Mm-hmm.
So why do you need to point your feet at stuff?
It's not clear like what the, like where the gravity well is. Like, where is the center of gravity?
Yeah, it's almost like he explained it poorly. You know what I mean? Like, does the own character not know?
Maybe he doesn't know how this power works.
He's like, everything around me is pushed out, except, I don't know, sometimes it's more intense and I guess I didn't need to point my feet anywhere. Whatever.
Yeah.
He should have had to get behind objects to throw them at Jolene, but he can't do that right now, so... It's a little stupid.
So her arm is like inside out and then some like threads show up and some holy music plays and we see what we later find out is a Mobius strip.
Correct.
But it's like a figure eight or infinity symbol to me. But it's her strings are making that pattern. And there's a couple of them. There's one where her heart should be in her chest. There's one shows up in her neck.
Anytime it goes to hit her, she turns her body using the threads. She turns herself into a Mobius strip.
And Pucci knows what that is and he has a name for it. And he's like, the Mobius strip. And then there's like a the narrator is like, this shape was discovered by a German mathematician, and that's it. Like, that's all we learn about this thing, like, not what its purpose is or anything. Well, I mean, we kind of learned that it's like, at any point, you can trace around, like, a circle, basically. Like, you go around the whole thing, and then it comes back to where you started. Like,
have you
a
ever wedding ring is a Mobius strip.
What is?
My wedding ring.
Show it. Can you show it to Jackie? Can you put it up to the...
Mark, I can't see what's on the screen.
Oh, I'm so dumb. Jackie, have you never played with a Mobius strip? Have you never taken a piece of paper or tape and done this?
Any, like, yeah, thin piece of paper. Okay. Just like,
yeah.
But basically,
twist
it's
one end and attach the twisted end to the not twisted end.
Yeah, I mean, it's not rocket science. It's pretty...
Well, it is rocket science. Well, like, the point is that...
But, like, isn't a circle the same thing?
Can't you,
with the same sheet of strip of paper, instead of... You can just attach it to, instead of twisting it, you just make a circle.
No, because a circle, think about a circular strip, okay?
Yeah.
If you run your finger along the inside, it never touches the outside, right? Your finger is just on the inside. Because of the twist in a Mobius strip, if you start on the inside, you'll end up on the outside, quote unquote. The point being, there is no inside or outside. It's all just a single-sided object at that point.
No, but there's still parts that you won't hit.
Nope.
Yes, there are.
No, I need to... do that. Yes, I wish I had tape up here.
It works the same way as a circle. There's the inner part.
I'm gonna make a Mobius strip.
Mark, look. Okay, I'll make one here out of this thing, maybe.
Oh yeah, that's perfect. Jackie's found a little Velcro thing. It's actually not perfect because it's kind of short. Follow it. So you're on the outside now. On the quote unquote outside.
Yeah, but I never touch this part.
No, you should. Then you did it wrong if you don't touch that.
It's weird because it's not taped together.
Yeah, it's a little bit easier with a longer, thinner thing. But trust me, you will touch every surface. Jackie's just staring at this little strip of Velcro. I don't know if that one actually worked perfectly as a Mobius strip.
It's not gonna work.
I don't understand.
Jackie, it does work. Well, I'll get you some tape later, some Scotch tape, and we'll do it.
I don't believe it works.
So the idea is that with no outside...
Don't laugh at me, Miles, damn it.
With no outside or inside, then something can't be inverted. There is no need for that. Doesn't make any sense.
Oh, I was like, what the fuck is the point of? Why are you telling us about this math right now?
So that's
Araki.
That's the idea. Is that she is turning? Now the thing about this, of course, is that just because you take a bunch of threads and you organize them into a thing, it's like. I don't know. It's the kind of thing where I guess if the stand says to itself, I'm inverting this thing, and suddenly is thinking of a Mobius strip, it isn't going to work.
So it can't invert a Mobius strip because there's no inverse.
Right. And if you even take a Mobius strip and you try to flip it, it's just going to look the same.
But like the piece of paper that you made into a Mobius strip,
yeah.
Like if the gravity's strong enough in the middle of it, it'll still crumple into a tiny little ball.
Yeah, but that's not really what the inverse thing is doing. It's like flipping. It's like telling the inside you have to go outside.
I see. But that's not gravity then.
Yes.
That's inside outy power.
Right, because if he was really just creating a gravity well, then you wouldn't invert. Her hand wouldn't invert. It would just be like crushed. It would be like a super dense star all of a sudden, like a
black
hole.
Yeah, I kind of thought that's what... It was just like a shorthanded way of saying like... I don't know. But it's just literally, I'm turning things inside out.
Right. It's literally reaching through your t-shirt neck and pulling the logo to be on the outside after it got out of the washer. Because you didn't flip it before putting it in the washer because you're lazy.
It all gets wet with soap.
It's true. It's very true.
They don't really make clear what the Mobius strip, what the deal is about this thing, though, because it like seems kind of pointless until you explained why.
Well, I went to nerd camp, so it was all...
Did you really go to nerd camp?
Oh, yeah.
What is that?
It's like camp where you do a lot of activities, like you build rockets, you do some computer stuff.
It doesn't mean you're better than us, though.
Well, I never thought of it that way until now. And
I was going to send my son to nerd camp until I heard that I don't want him to turn out like you.
First of all, you don't even have nerd camps down south, do you?
Yeah, they're the opposite of nerd camps.
I was told by my parents that they were expensive, but they tried to send me to like regular kid camp, like athletic, go outside. I mean, because we did spend a lot of time outside, but I hated them all. I hated almost any. Like, I liked arts and crafts.
You could have been a jock, bro.
But like, go play flag football. I was like, no, thank you. I'm not doing that.
You didn't want to jump in the lake?
Well, at the nerd camp, we still had lake for lunch hour and stuff. But we would mostly play Magic the Gathering on the picnic tables.
Okay, because you were all a bunch of nerds.
Because we were all a bunch of nerds.
That's nice.
Yeah. And you could go swim in the lake, but it was gross.
As soon as this Mobius strip thing happened, I was like, I can't wait for the narrator to explain this. Like, I could feel it coming. Like, I don't know.
I don't think there was enough of an explanation, though, because it's like, okay,
it wasn't, but cool, I knew that I was going to hear that voice. Like, yeah. It was the most certain thing in my entire life.
Yeah, Miles, you should also, if you have scotch tape somewhere, you should make a Mobius strip and then try to, like, flip it inside out with your hands, and you'll see that it's like...
Mm.
I'll just crush it.
Okay, you could do that too and say, you know what? It still crumples. Anyway, so it's kind of a clever little thing. It's, again, it's a little bit like, is that how that stand works? But I think it's a clever...
She should just turn her entire body into a Mobius strip. Like, just become string. Just become a giant Mobius.
I thought about
giant
that too,
Mobius.
That she just became a big eight, like a big infinity thing.
Yeah.
Apparently the NASCAR museum is styled to be like a Mobius strip.
Okay.
Which, not to be an elitist or anything, but I imagine 0% of people who are visiting the NASCAR Museum would appreciate the Mobius strip shape.
Why? You don't think there's a nerd?
Because they like a sport where you drive in a circle, like you just hold the steering wheel left, and that is a circle. It's not a Mobius strip they drive on. It'd be cool if they could drive on a Mobius strip.
I'm sure there are people who are nerds about NASCAR, and they know, like, a bunch of, like... I don't know. They do a bunch of math to figure
nerds
out.
Nerds watch, like, F1.
They look at the weather and like the...
That's elitist, Mark.
Or you know what? Even street racing. I think street racing, because it's like you open your own car's hood and you do shit to your car and you have to learn about compression ratios and shit like that. NASCAR, you just want to get drunk in a public space. Fight me, Midwest.
Isn't that true of all sports, though? All sports watchers?
Yes. But... there's more complicated things to talk about in terms of, like, I don't know, how much strategy is happening when you're driving on NASCAR? Like, football, you got to be like, oh, because he, you know, came out the side here and tackled him.
You know, you got to throw your power up, you know, to make sure that...
You got to put the banana out so the other cars
run
over the banana.
Right,
you got
to strategically place it.
Jackie, I don't know how to explain this to you, but Mario Kart is like, it's just a video game. It's not based on real driving. You're thinking of Mario Kart.
What?
Yeah, sorry.
So they fight with their stands, Jolene and Pucci.
By the way, I'm mostly kidding.
About what?
About thinking NASCAR fans are all stupid.
Okay.
I don't think that.
I also don't think that NASCAR is like Mario Kart, if we're just telling our jokes.
I hope that was clear at least.
So Pucci pulls the dead body of a security officer over to him and steals his gun. Because he's like, fuck this stand stuff. Let's just use guns. Like, why don't we just use guns? They're really good at killing people.
They are really good.
They're great at killing people. We should just use guns.
It's so funny. And also, guns are kind of what let him steal Star Platinum's disc, I think, in the beginning, right? Isn't Joe Dotto being shot at? Like, why doesn't Pucci just have guns on him? They're in Florida. There's guns have to be popping out of the ground like plants that you could just be like, oh... What's that? Oh, I just need to prove that I have a pulse and I just have like a Mac 10. That's cool.
They have more rights than trans people down there.
Guns, yeah.
That's true. That's sad.
Sad.
Sorry. Just sad. Like, nothing to say to that. Just, sorry.
But it's, so yeah, it's just like, it's funny that there's all this complicated sort of like inversion and people who can move seemingly like through a, I'm just going to say non-Euclidean space. I don't know what that means, but it kept popping up on Wikipedia.
Mark's
when I was
like,
looking
I
up,
went to nerd camp, so I'm going to say a bunch of
Mobius
shit.
Mobius strips. Jackie, this is not the first time you've heard that I went to nerd camp.
I know you
don't
went
act
to
like
nerd.
You newly discovered I'm a huge dork.
I know you went to nerd camp, but now but now I get to make fun of you for it on this podcast.
I also want to say that I can throw a football. I just want to put that out there. The thing
is,
I don't want to run to catch it. That's what I don't want to do.
Okay.
I want to throw things.
Okay, but you don't want to catch them?
I don't want to run and catch them. I don't see the point in doing that.
What if you don't run? What if we're just playing catch and I throw the ball right at you and you catch it?
No.
You don't want to do that either?
Ball could hurt me. Ball scary. Ball large.
Okay.
This scene is like that Indiana Jones thing where the guy's like shaking all the swords around, except it's like Jolene with her stand, and Poochie is Indiana Jones and just shoots her.
Mm.
Yeah, because if you told me the beginning is like, then he grabs a gun and shoots her, you'd think that it would be like, oh, okay, well, we've encountered guns before, and it's actually foolish. This is showing that Poochie's out of options because she can curve bullets and blah, blah, blah. But instead, it's such a good plan on Poochie's part that an all-powerful father slash ally of hers has to show up to stop time.
Yeah.
Did you guys expect this?
I figured he would come eventually.
I guess the idea is that
he also, he just texted... He just texted Emporio to give him a heads up.
You
so.
Up? Yeah, it's. I guess the excuse, because they kind of mention it a few times, like, oh, your wounds, you know, she's bleeding a lot. I guess she can't dodge, but it's weird that she can also fly around the room and touch him without him noticing. I don't know.
Yeah.
A little bit silly that it's just like, oh no, bullets.
Yeah, if she would have made herself into a giant infinity, what is it called? Mobius strip? Mobius? If she turned herself into a giant Mobius strip, it would be a lot harder for him to hit her, you know?
That's true.
What if she turned
two
into
two big holes?
Right.
Yeah.
It's just two big holes. So he shoots her with a bunch of bullets. Time stops. Ah, that means Jotaro is there.
This was cool, okay?
It's fun to hear his cool. It's fun to hear his theme for a first time in a long time as well.
Yes.
His ba 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 na ba ba.
So Jotaro saves her in a way. I would like for her to save him. Again.
She already did.
I don't know. She kind of already did, but yeah, I don't know. She's the star of this. I want her to stay. I don't want him to, like, you know, take over. You know,
that
that's
is
what I don't
one
want.
Thing I don't like about part four.
Yeah,
that Jotaro, actually, really a runaway ambulance saves the day.
Well, it's Jotaro beats the shit out of him, and then he flies into the way of the ambulance.
Right.
The whole point of the ambulance really just being there so that his face rips off and no one can identify him. But
spoilers for part four.
Yeah. If you're watching this out of order or you're listening to this out of order, you're a weirdo. But yeah, it is annoying that Jotaro shows up in part four and is just like, no, brother.
It's better here, though.
It is better because it's not over.
Yeah.
And Poochie is so determined to not be owned that he's like, actually, you guys are helping me. I'm actually in a better spot now. You guys are actually my allies.
I'm not owned
yeah. As I slowly turn into a corn cob.
We're not there yet, but yeah, that's a good point. That is what he's doing. He's like, actually, you're helping me. It's like, what? Yeah.
I'm actually laughing right now. What you're doing is actually funny to me.
Yeah.
I just think it's funny that you're trying to stop me from turning into a moon or whatever. What if that's how it ended?
Turn into a moon.
He's just the Majora's Mask villain.
Why would they, like, I have a question. Why are they trying to stop him from achieving heaven or whatever? If he wants to go off to heaven, like, what's the problem?
Right, they don't know that it's bad.
What's the problem?
They just know that it's Dio, and by association, they don't like that. They're just like, whatever Dio was doing was bad. And they know that Poochie's been killing people and trying to hurt them.
Yeah.
So I don't think it'd be good to just say, well, let's just see what it is, you know?
This will probably never happen, but I would like for Poochie to have some kind of crisis of faith or something, like because he's a priest, but he's not doing very godly things.
Well, he kind of did, but it was really fast. It was after his sister dies, and he's like, I'm now going to do whatever I need to do.
Oh, okay.
And then he's just like, I will kill people, basically.
Okay.
His crisis of faith, I guess, really is just meeting Dio and being horny and being like, fuck all this Christianity.
Yeah, I'm in love with a male vampire.
He needs to know how this book ends, basically. You know, there's like a notebook out there with all these plans, and he's like, this guy was hot, and therefore he had the right idea, and I gotta get to the bottom of this.
It all sounds logical.
Oh, real fast, this was not in the anime, but I reread some manga chapters. When he smacks Anasui away, when he's telling Anasui, like, oh, clever disguise or whatever, he's like, I don't care about you. He says, you are less significant than Son Goku flying around the Buddha's hand.
Wow.
Which is a reference to the famous Road to the West Chinese folktale.
Do you mean Dragon Ball Z?
Which Dragon Ball Z is a much closer adaptation, whatever.
By the way, is his voice Jotaro's voice different? I was put off by his voice.
Really? I don't know. I feel like that would be an unthinkable thing to do in an anime. They are so attached to their voice actors that to do that would be unfucking thinkable.
Okay. He sounded different to me and I didn't like it. But maybe it's just me.
I'm checking. Wait, who's Juro Dakosuke? Who the fuck is you? Did Jotaro's voice actor change in Stone Ocean?
Is it some stupid SEO article?
No, it's a Wikipedia that does not point to that. Yeah, no, he had a different voice actor in the OVA. We know that. Yeah, no, it's Daisuke Ono in all the parts, it seems.
Oh, maybe he hit puberty or something. Actually, his voice sounds less...
manly?
Yeah.
Maybe you've just realized that women are actually the strongest. And so now hearing a strong man, you're like, I don't know.
That's true. Now that I know he's a deadbeat dad, he doesn't sound as tough to me.
A strong man sticks around.
So, as we said, Pucci fires some bullets. Jotaro stops time. He punches Pucci, and we're like, yeah, Jotaro's back. Aramis is there. She says something about a harpoon and how the harpoon helped get there.
Why Speedwagon fire a harpoon at this place?
I don't know.
I didn't really get that. And then she's like, and I put a sticker on it, and therefore the sticker let me... But it's like, wait, so did they fire the harpoon and it went past Aramis and she was able to put a sticker on it? Otherwise, if she's able to reach the harpoon, why does she need to unkiss it?
It was just like a really quick explanation that I feel like wasn't needed. They could have just like caught up to... Like, they all know they need to go to the space station or whatever. The Liberty Science Center. So, whatever it is.
Shout outs to Liberty Science Center, by the way. We're going to take a field trip as a podcast. And we're going to go in the touch tunnel
of Jersey City, New Jersey.
One of many? Question mark? I don't know.
What else is in Jersey City?
I'm trying to remember if they have an arcade. I don't know. Probably some nice restaurants and a good, like, PATH train situation, right?
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah, if you live in Jersey City.
Really get into the city quick.
A classic movie theater that's been converted into some dumb religious place.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And then I think they got it back from that religious group, but I don't know. I don't know.
Anyway.
You could see the Statue of Liberty pretty well.
Well, okay. That applies to a lot of things, I think.
So, yeah, they're like... Sorry, Pucci, it's over. We got you. You can't stop. You know, we've stopped you. And he's like, you're wrong. I now understand the Joestars were my allies this entire time. And so he's like, I'm not defeated. You're helping me. And they starts floating up to the sky. And before we continue that threat, like, how are they helping him this whole time? Like, what is... How did they help him get to where, like, if they weren't there, he would have still been where he is, I think.
I guess the fact that they're sort of trapping him here means that he had to figure out a way to achieve heaven earlier.
Mm.
Because he says something. What does he say about somebody discovering something from, the first person to eat mushrooms.
Oh, yeah.
Which is really funny. Might have been starving.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a good question. It's like, was that person just curious? And they were like, we got to see if these things are edible. They're everywhere. Or was he just like, I am so hungry. I know dirt is bad, but animals are too fast. I'm going to eat mushrooms.
Maybe they fed it to a prisoner to see if they would die. And if they didn't die, then they ate it.
But so the idea is that it's like, because he's forced into a corner, he is, of course, he doesn't know if this is going to work, by the way. It does kind of seem like it works, but he's like, you're helping me because now I realize I don't need to wait for the new moon. I'll just go somewhere where the gravity is stronger.
I will pull myself where the gravity is equal to a new moon.
I like this.
Why do you like it, Mark?
It is logical. It makes sense. And okay. I like that even though he's like, it's all about fate and you are fated to help me and this is how it was meant to be. I like that he has to choose to do this. Or I guess he doesn't have to choose to do this. That he's able to choose to do it.
Here's my impression of Mark. I like this. It is logical.
Yeah. Did we talk about what kind of camp I went to as a kid? I don't know if we went over that. Yeah, I don't know. It's just better than, oh, but here's a hidden clause. Like if they were like, oh, there was a part of Dio's notebook you didn't know about that said that if you get kicked in the dick too many times by the Joe Stars.
This is better than that.
Well, you know what I mean? Like a secret reveal about the plan or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or they accidentally put, oh, I guess it'd be funny if they accidentally put him up into the atmosphere.
Yeah.
That would be funny too.
That'd be good. I would like that.
But I like instead he's just like, shit, I'm not going to wait for this bullshit. But by the end of the episode, we don't know. Maybe he fucked it up.
So he floats. He's floating and he's floating. And then he's like, I'll pull myself to where the gravity is equal to the new moon. Meanwhile, Jotaro is like, Hermes, pick up the gun, I guess, to shoot him. And he goes to Jolene. You've grown up, Jolene, because you're cool and you fight stuff. And so he tells Hermes to shoot him. Star Platinum, the world stops time. And Jotaro throws the harpoon at Pucci floating in the air, who also has, I think, bullets on their way to him. So
right. He knows Pucci is aware of the bullets because they were fired in regular time.
Yeah, but the harpoon was
Gwes
thrown.
Gwes shoots him.
Yes.
But, and Jackie.
What? Gwes?
Gwes fires the gun.
Gwes?
Yeah, right.
Gwes Hermes. Isn't there. And I was like, Gwes isn't there. I was like, where did
I went
Gwes
right
come
along
from?
With him. I'm like, exactly.
You're
exactly.
Like, Gwes. And I'm like, what was she doing there?
but I think Jackie didn't notice this because it's like very brief, Miles. But did you see that Pucci briefly looks at Jotaro during stop time?
Yeah, and Jotaro notices too that he looks at him.
But he doesn't think like, I'm not going to throw this. He's like, I got to do it.
And then time unstops and he dodges the harpoon.
I mean, it does hit him.
But probably because if Green Baby is him and Dio's love child or whatever, and their stands fused and all that, maybe he has a little bit of a time resistance.
Maybe.
Oh, you're saying inherited from the world.
Inherited from cannibalizing his baby.
Or
that is Dio's child.
Or it's that Jotaro didn't say his catchphrase, yada yada daze. You know, if he had said that, this harpoon would have gone right through Pucci's head.
Really good point.
And then Pucci's like, I'm going to board this space shuttle. So the space shuttle's flying with him too into the sky. And he hops in. And then he starts like basically praying. He's like, oh, Lord, thank you for all the great things that you've given me. Whatever he says. I don't know. He says some shit. And he's talking to the Lord. And then lights start shooting out of him. And then it ends.
Yeah, he turns into like a gay disco ball. Because it's like rainbow. It's a lot of different colors of light.
Is this heaven? Is that what heaven is? Do you just turn into a light?
We gotta figure it out.
Yeah.
Okay.
We gotta wait and see. Did you guys notice that the outside of the shuttle is like a bunch of weird squares?
The shuttle?
Weird squares.
Does not look like it flies.
Like it's got, it's like it's not evenly like just a grid or anything. It's like the squares are at sort of a weird angle on it. And I looked it up and that's pretty much accurate. It doesn't look good in the anime, the way it's drawn, but that is actually, it's consisted of shuttle tiles on the outside. I'm on NASA's website. Anyway.
It's bookmarked for you, I bet. Fucking nerd.
No, I mean, I'm replying to their articles. I like this episode. I like Jolene's solution,
even if it's
a little bit weird. I like that we get an explainer.
Yeah.
I like Pucci having to adapt. I like Jolene being a powerful mystery lady.
I like that Jotaro's finally back.
Guess who's back? Back again.
But
it's a very cool comeback.
But I want them to like team up, and I want Jolene to kind of still be the hero in this. You know, I don't want Jotaro to take over, but I think them teaming up would be cute. And maybe it'll be like, will it be the first time that there's actually like a nice father child situation? Because there's a lot of dead, I mean, he's still a deadbeat dad, but
I mean, Josuke meets old Joseph.
But do they have a moment? Like, do they have like a thanks dad, you know?
They help each other. By the time he's able to say thank you to old Joseph, I think that old Joseph is seemingly senile.
Okay.
Losing it. But they have a nice moment, I think.
Okay.
It would be nice. Jackie, I think you should look up all the cutscenes of the special team-up animations from JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, Eyes of Heaven.
Okay.
From the PlayStation the video game. 4.
Okay.
Because you can team up any two characters, but if you do stuff that makes sense story-wise, Poochie and Dio hold hands.
Aww.
And they're like, let us fight together, friend, or whatever the hell. And
friend.
Whatever.
Friend something. In quotes.
Well, you're not going to go, my boyfriend, you know.
Why not?
Because you have to pretend lover. That you're just friends
it,
in front
should,
of everyone.
It should say lover.
Because people don't accept this.
It should say friend in quotation marks.
I don't even know if it says friend, okay? I'm just paraphrasing that I know he doesn't come out and say, I love you. Mwah, 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 mwah. But I'm pretty sure Jolene and Jotaro have like a nice conversation.
Okay.
A nice little thing before they beat the shit out of you. I'm still, even though we're like towards the end, it is still weird to me that there's three episodes left. Like I can definitely think of, yeah, I could picture like two episodes remaining, but the idea that there's three more, it's like, I guess, I don't know.
I think Dio should come back now.
just bring back everybody.
Dio should come back and team up with Poochie, and then it's Dio and Poochie versus Jolene and Jotaro.
Yeah. That'd be cute. My money would be on Dio, Poochie, but.
Yeah.
Jolene is turning into tape at this point.
I still don't believe that we gotta trace it after this.
I thought that she had like transcended her like human form and was just like a string person now. And like that was going to be the answer. I mean, it kind of is. Like if her vital organs are all gone and it's just Mobius strips, then like,
yeah. Yeah, then indestructible. You can't beat me because I'm Mobius strip.
Yeah, I am Mobius strip. You are glue.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you shoot at me goes on a loop-de-loo.
Pretty good.
I'm proud of myself.
Yeah, I'm proud of you.
Thank you. But now you can't credit me that much because you're like, well, he went to special rich camp.
That's true.
They taught him everything there. There were a lot of rich kids and some of them were very obnoxious.
No, that makes sense.
There's a nerd camp around here.
When I was a camp counselor, I remember a moment where I was like, 11-year-olds got cell phones out here. Whoa, look at these rich motherfuckers. And then it was like, now you get a cell phone when you're 5. I don't know. We're not doing that shit.
I always wanted to do something like camp. There's a bunch of like extracurricular shit that I always wanted to do. And like my parents were like, that costs money. So you're going to, my camp was like, hang out with my grandma.
Okay. Here's the thing though, Jackie, is that
my grandma will take care of us.
Until I found the nerd camp, everything else, every other summer, I was like, can you just let me sit at home?
Yeah.
I just want to play video games and watch movies. And they were like, absolutely not.
And so what did they do with you?
They always sent us to camps.
Oh, okay. Because you need, I see.
They were like, you do not get to just laze out. And I was like, what about one summer? Can I just have one summer? And
so you never had a summer where you could be lazy?
No.
Oh, okay. Then I am the lucky one.
Right. That's the thing is you're saying that, but you probably would have went to camp and then they'd be doing a bunch of outdoorsy stuff and you'd be like, this sucks.
I would have had so much fun.
That's what you think.
I would have done all the arts and crafts.
The grass is always greener.
But I think it is good to just be home and do nothing.
I think that's what
my son is already like that. Anytime I want to take him outside, he's like, I'm just playing with my train. And like, he's pretty mad.
Father, I'm busy. Yeah, I think that it's like when people say like, I'm just going to let my kid do whatever they want. I'm like, that would be nice, but I also don't want my kid to be a lazy loser. Like, I don't know. I need to get them into stuff.
It's going to be very hard for me when he's old enough to play video games to not just be like, yeah, just stay inside and play video games. Like, because I don't want to go outside either.
Well, you run, don't you run?
Yes.
Yeah, you do that. Oh, also, I should say, though, quick disclaimer. My parents never even tried to send me to sleepaway camp. All these camps I'm talking about were day camps.
Mm.
So I would come home at like 5 and probably just play video games. It was a smarty pants camp with classrooms, but there was no homework.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
So I was mostly complaining about nothing. And I made some friends, including a guy that I saw a few weeks ago who was a counselor when I was a camper. And we hung out and got coffee.
Because Mark was cool and mature and he could be friends with counselors.
That's fact. That's actually factually.
That's true. You've always had an older guy vibe.
This is coming from Miles. I can't tell if this is a huge compliment or not. This guy's been listening to Neil Young since he was like 3. He's just doing the Sunday Times crossword puzzle when everyone else
I don't think
is.
I met you until we were in like fifth or sixth grade.
It's true. Your old guy persona really only manifested to me when we were in college, and you would tell me about some of the things you were up to, and I was like, all right. And this guy's wearing flannel. All right.
No, flannel was popular in the 2010s.
I don't know. Miles just had this vibe of like a guy who'd be like in a log cabin sipping tea and would be telling me about the way he likes to prepare his tea in a particular way. And I'd be like, does this old guy have any TV? I don't know.
I see.
Now I do that to people about TV and video games. Anyway, this has really gone off the rails. If you have thoughts about summer camp or this episode of JoJo's or whatever, you can email us. We are jojosbizarrepod@gmail.com.
Our former guest Anna is still looking for a gay summer camp anime, and none of you have
stepped up.
Found one. Yeah,
I would also say that if Anna wants to look into the realm of comics, she will absolutely find something there. Fan-made comics are humongous, and they do everything. You can also tweet to us. We are at JJBpod. There's also a Discord started by fans, but we're in there because we're bored. And the link to join that is in the description of this episode. Other than that, oh yeah, patreon.com/JJBpod. Throw us a dollar. Come on. You've got a dollar.
Come on.
Well, think about what other dumb shit you're paying for and just throw a dollar at us. You can turn it right off. Give us a month of a dollar. I don't care.
For the price of, I don't know, is coffee ever a dollar anymore?
No. For the price of an ice cube.
Maybe at like a deli.
So, if you go to like a place where like everything is reasonably priced in this country, we don't live there. Anyway, for $3, you could just do 1 month, $3. We'll read your dumbass name and then, you know, you've made your mark. Other than that, we'll talk to you next week. Do you guys, I guess I'm going to tell you. I'm not going to even wait and ask. I'm going to tell you the name of the next episode. So this was called Sea Moon. For some reason, they weren't afraid of copyright or anything on this one. The next episode is called, on Netflix, Maiden Heaven, Part 1.
Oh, how sweet.
Like if there were a bunch of maidens.
No, there's like a match made in heaven is Pucci and Dio. Like they can be together again, like that Janet Jackson song.
I don't know, Jackie.
Together again.
Netflix.
Which one?
Together again. Everywhere I go, every smile I see, I know you
are. I love
that
song.
It's good.
Yeah, it's a happy song about someone you know dying.
Yep. Well, about a friend who's dead.
Yeah.
You're not celebrating the fact that they're in like their deathbed.
No, but you're just like it's you're dead and it's okay because I love you.
Yeah, I like that. It is a nice song, but yeah. No, Jackie, it's spelled Maiden, Maiden, Heaven,
okay.
On Netflix.
Okay, is that a reference to like Iron Maiden or something?
That'd be sick, but no. Anyway, we'll talk to you next week when gravity pulls you back to us or flips you inside out. One of those two. Anyway, okay. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.